to the inquisitorial representative, the anchorite. My lord, reports have reached me from the cardinal world of Almais concerning the existence of a being known as the anchorite. This is quite revelatory, so I have sent this for your attention immediately, as it is crucial for the stability for the Imperium that our glorious organization has a firm grasp on, as the ancients would have said, this apocalyptic turn of events, and what it may mean for the future of the Imperial Church, and thus the Imperium, and, more importantly, our institution as a whole. To put things briefly, my lord, and very briefly, as this subject can cause discussions to spiral for little benefit, it appears one of the founders and most instrumental thinkers of the Imperial cult, responsible for crafting its core beliefs following the heresy and our Emperor's ascension to godhood, was in fact a word-bearer's Legionis Astartes. As we who need to know do know, the Emperor himself refused the title of God and hammered down on those who worshipped him as such via a belief system known as the Imperial Truth, which effectively eradicated all of humanity's older religious traditions and beliefs and replaced them with a secular ideology which was very much meshed with the ideas of crusade, expansion, the reconquest of humanity's first star empire, and the search for scientific knowledge. It is not our place to question the actions of the divine, for though the Emperor is clearly a god, for a time he did not wish to be seen as such. It's all part of his great plan, I am sure. The Primarch Lorgar, however, penned the treatise known as the Lactitio Divinitatis, which stated, even from the first line, "Rejoice, for I bring glorious news. God walks among us." A line which every civilized child of the Imperium learns by heart in their first days at the Scholem. The Emperor was a god, and is a god, and should be worshipped as such, and this belief spurred on the word-bearers and spread in hushed whispers throughout the Imperium. The Emperor, it appears, was not best pleased with this, and on the world of Monarchia, which the word-bearers had built into what we would consider some kind of proto-imperial shrine world, ordered the Legion and its Primarch to cease their belief and accept the Imperial Truth, while our noble Lord Commander, the risen Primarch Gilliman, and the 13th Legion literally levelled the planet. This moment set in chain a sequence of events which led to the heresy, and thus humanity's current predicament. Obviously, belief in the divinity of the Emperor did not cease here, and using the Lactitio Divinitatis as a foundation of their faith, the early church fathers built a religion which succeeded in spreading rapidly throughout the Imperium, scarred and broken by the heresy as it was. This was not without challenge. Many cults arose afterwards, each espousing their own vision of transcendent religion, which the masses flocked to seeking spiritual fulfillment after the horrors they had seen and lived. This led to the wars of faith, with the Adeptus Ministorum as we know it today becoming the dominant religious force within the Imperium, and uniting the scarred remnants of humanity in religious fervour. However, many of those in power before the heresy were devout believers in the Imperial Truth and refused and opposed actively this growing religiosity. The Primarch Gilliman was responsible in his attempt to preserve the Imperial Truth, in his rightful role as Lord Commander and Regent of the Imperium, for putting down risings of these cults and burning of the religious texts that they worshipped during the Great Heresy. But The Primarch can also claim some measure of responsibility for the creation of the Ministerium, as his actions were instrumental in its founding and success. But we shall get to that shortly. First, we must outline what has occurred. The Odakar system was a relatively prosperous one, large and blessed with, either by accident of nature or the efforts of our ancestors, several habitable worlds. It had two primary worlds, the cardinal world of Almace acting as the system capital, and its library world of Pergo, which acted as a repository of ecclesiarchal literature, which appears to have been pushed outwards to other ministerium possessions, thus making the Odakar system a theological linchpin for the church. This, of course, made the cardinal world of Almes very powerful amongst the priesthood, with many saying that Cardinal Aemon may one day ascend to become ecclesiarch. Although now, I would say that is doubtful, depending upon the fallout, so to speak, of what has been revealed as his family's hereditary stewardship. As well as these two worlds, there were a number of agri-worlds and many, many mining facilities due to the system being large enough to have multiple asteroid belts, which appear to have become multi-generational enterprises, which had been in operation for so long that separate subcultures of asteroid miners had developed distinct, but still dominated by them. In general, the system was a relatively peaceful and affluent one, although it did have a persistent problem with piracy, which fed on trade and industrial shipping, the raiding of isolated agri and mining facilities, and of course being a cardinal world of long standing, important to the faithful, the pilgrims who would regularly visit. Almace and Pergo were both heavily populated, built up and technologically advanced worlds. Thankfully, I suppose, for the inhabitants, they had not developed into the full hive world, although being an ecclesiarchy holding, they still are extremely wealthy, such is the lucrative nature of the prayer bowl. This meant the worlds were affluent and the cities in a generally prosperous state. So much so that a relatively large and capable criminal underclass provided for the populace's baser needs, while the planetary's elite consisted of a local nobility as well as various ecclesiarchal officials, with Cardinal Aemon as the hereditary overlord. Well, rather, his cardinalship itself was hereditary, not the rulership of the world. In fact, his family's governorship of the system was a relatively recent development and appears to have come from his predecessors using the powers of their spiritual position to gradually gain ascent over the temporal. This wealth and prestige allowed the system to have a formidable defense fleet of mainline warships, as well as strong orbital defenses. Then the Great Rift came. Luckily, the Odakar system was relatively self-sufficient and abler than most to put down any rebellious uprisings occurred in the system, and the fleet managed to repel raids and invasions, but at a gradual, heavy cost. Cardinal Amos sent for aid to Terra, but was told to see to his own defences, given the critical galactic situation. But once Amos knew of the Primarch's return, he dispatched a special coded message which had been passed down to him from his ancestors, which Gilliman had given to them. A task force from the Indomitus Crusade front lines was dispatched, consisting of Imperial Fists, White Scars, and Raven Guard, under the command of Lieutenant Calder, a horse carl of the Imperial Fists. Almace was also given a new designation as a Primaris Grade world, which the Lord Gilliman is assigning to many important imperial possessions, with this seemingly meaning that it is worthy of the garrisoning or the attentions of a Primaris Space Marine force to defend it, such is its importance. This has the added benefit of allowing him, by extension, control of many of the Imperium's most important locations. How very, very convenient. As the task force approached, they were alerted to the imminent invasion of the system by a substantial word-bearer's armada, led by one Amatnim Ur-Nabash Lash, a veteran legionary commander and warlord who appears to be aligned with the heretic Corpheron, who, as you are no doubt aware, my lord, has been in conflict with the vile heretic Erebus for control of the word-bearer's legion on Sicarius. From combing through the evidence and various interrogations, my agents have discovered that Amatnim had received a vision at some point in the past, apparently from the demon Primarch Lorgar himself, to seek out the Anchorite, believing him to be some lost hero of the Legion, whose return would be revolutionary within it and would seed its rebirth. At least, that's what he thought it meant. The minds of the great enemy are dangerous to understand. He had been tracking the Anchorite for potentially millennia, at least by our view of time, and Amon's family as they moved around the Imperium with their prisoner. For the Primarch had tasked his family, at least the founder of this dynasty, with being the jailers for the being known as the Anchorite. This ancient Terran term for someone who, for religious reasons, has withdrawn from society to lead an aesthetic and contemplative existence, revolving around prayer and faith. Appropriate. The Anchorite was once a Colchisian Astartes recruit who fought for his legion throughout the Great Crusade, then on to the Isfahan massacre, and then the horror of Calf. But on Calf, he experienced a revelation. He turned from the lies of the demon and surrendered himself. And for some reason, the Primarch Gilliman spared him. The Anchorite was imprisoned, but there continued to develop his religious beliefs based around the original teachings of Lorgar Aurelian before his embrace of the ruinous powers. Eventually, the Primarch fell in battle, and the ages passed, but his jailers somehow became involved in the rising Imperial Church, and somehow became integral parts of it as a hereditary cardinalship with the special duty to keep alive and secret the Anchorite, who would then impart his theological knowledge, which then fed directly into the Ecclesiarchy's fundamental teachings and beliefs. But he still feels guilt over his treasonous past, and has lived for 10,000 years seeking forgiveness for his sins through belief. He is encased in an ancient Contemptor dreadnought, which he was forced to enter possibly due to age, which doesn't seem correct as he should have been functionally immune, as most Astartes are, or due to injuries he has sustained through his multiple attempts to end his own existence. With great cost, the Imperial forces, with faith and fire, broke the enemy, although elements escaped the system or have gone to ground. A long purgation campaign will be required alongside the rebuilding of this bastion of Imperial faith. The Anchorite himself confronted Amatnim and appears, at least from eyewitnesses, to have become possessed by holy light and appeared to possess golden wings, similar to many touched by the Emperor's divine spirit in these interesting times. But the damage was done, even with the defeat of the traitors. What will be the result of this revelation? And how best can this information serve the God Emperor's will? Well, firstly, within the Word Bearers in particular, it is possible that a schism will emerge, as the vast majority of Lorgar's treacherous get were created after his turn to Chaos, so were unaware of his previous belief in the Emperor as God, or that the religious beliefs of their enemy, us, are founded upon their Primarch's own beliefs. I have my ears to the ground to see what will come of this. For the ecclesiarchy, well, schism is also possible now, as the clergy and the laity will begin to learn the fundamental tenets of their belief have come from a word-bearer, a mythological demon in the eyes of a vast majority of the Imperium's citizenry, never mind that the text they teach their children and speak daily, if they are truly faithful, was put to paper by the hands of a demonic primarch whose insanity led to the near damnation and internal slavery of our species to the ruinous powers, and the near murder of our immortal lord and emperor. Civil war is a distinct possibility, and that is before one considers the impact on the Adeptus Mechanicus with their dual belief in the emperor and the machine god. And our own organization, I dread to think of how many of our more, how shall I say, zealous comrades will react once the information begins to filter out, as it no doubt will. The Primarch's feelings on the Imperial Church are known, although he appears to be softening his view, perhaps seeing the utility and the extreme cost of removing the Church. Either way, he has no love for the priests. I hope this knowledge allows you to make the necessary preparations so that we, as guardians of the Imperium, may take the correct steps in the days ahead. For the moment, I will monitor the situation and alert you as to how it continues to develop. As ever, I remain your most loyal servant, Inquisitor A.B. Prince. Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed this. The information from this came from the Apocalypse novel. I highly recommend it. I'll be doing a review on it soon, so stay tuned for that. If you enjoy this content and want to see more, please remember to subscribe and like the video. And let me know in the comments below what you think. For those of you supporting the channel, thank you again. Your continued support is brilliant. You can see all your names here emblazoned for all eternity on the internet and on the interwebs. I really appreciate it, lads. Thank you very much. I'll be back again soon. See you next time. Cheers.